Brother Freddie and Sister Lavon. It's not going to be the same sermon tonight. But I am going to say a few opening remarks. Whoop, that's the wrong thing.
Sorry, it may be off.
It ain't working.
Yeah,
look at it. Or I switched the wrong thing.
No, it was dead. That's all right.
No. Hopefully the preaching won't go dead. Hopefully it'll be lively. I'd like to make a few comments that were made from this morning's service as a way of introduction. The whole Bible is a picture book. How do we got some young ones in here. How do we first teach them to relate objects and to interact with their environment around them? We show them picture books and they see a picture of something that they haven't seen with their eyes, and we point to it and we say, that's a chicken. And they see the picture of the chicken or the elephant. And that's how my mama taught me. That's how you all teach your children. It's happening right now. And Silas is looking at the picture. He don't really know what it is. But one day, I don't know what picture he's looking at. Hopefully it's not a monster. Whatever picture he's looking at, one day it may be of an elephant. And one day he's going to go to the zoo and he's going to see the real elephant. And he's going to say, elephant, elephant. Because of the picture book. Because you've told him that's what an elephant is going to look like. That's what it goes. And it's got a long trunk. And it makes this noise. And it walks like this. And when they finally see it, they're able to put what they've always been told, what it was and what it sounded like. And when they see it face to face, they say, that's an elephant. They begin to relate with the world around them by picture books and words and sounds that we use to describe what it is that we're telling them about. Now, the Bible is God's picture book to us.
Amen.
From the very beginning, you've got pictures of what did Adam and Eve try to do for themselves? They tried to sew fig leaves, and they did sew fig leaves together, but it was an insufficient covering, and God slayed an animal and covered them. God did it.
Amen.
With a sufficient covering that was needed.
Amen.
Then we go on, and I'm not going to rehash the sermon from this morning, but you get the point. There's so many different pictures. I'm going to talk about some different pictures, Brother Fred. And we find that God in this picture book, he called the children of Israel. And he called Moses, and Moses to lead them out. And Moses led them out with a great deliverance. And Moses was their the mediator that I don't know what the word, I'm getting old and like my words don't come to my head, but he was the mediator between that that facilitated that exodus out. It was at God's hand, but he was the leader of it. And when they did that, did you know they didn't lose any one of those children of Israel when they crossed the Red Sea?
Amen.
That's a picture of God's children going home.
Amen.
Into their land that God promised would be theirs. Now, the land that I'm talking about isn't with trees and flowing with milk and honey. I'm talking about the land of glory.
Right.
It's a picture. Now, that was a natural picture, but it was a picture.
Right.
But, you know, in Exodus 12, let's turn over there to Exodus 12. I want to talk about that for a minute. This is maybe a little bit before they went out. We're going to start reading in verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, in their land of bondage, saying, this month shall be unto you the beginning of months. God changed their calendar, didn't he? You're not working on Egypt's calendar anymore. You're working on mine.
Amen.
This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. A new beginning.
Amen.
Out of slavery. And remember, these people have been in slavery for 400 years. None of them knew what freedom tasted like. Speak ye unto all, but they knew it was bad. Whatever it was that they were in, they knew it was bad. They murmured and against their hard taskmasters. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the 10th day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb. Y'all follow this. First, it's a lamb. Kind of ambiguous, isn't it? According to the house of their fathers, a lamb for a house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, a little bit more specific, isn't it? The lamb that's for that house. Let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls, every man according to his eating. That means there's nothing lacking in the lamb. Nothing left over and nothing lacking. Just like that mercy seat that God told them to make, there was nothing lacking about it, and nothing that it didn't overhang that Ark of the Covenant. It fit exactly right. Let him, every man according to his eating, shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish. Hey, we went from an ambiguous a lamb to the lamb to your lamb. Shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. Ye shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats. And ye shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month. Hey, what did they do with that lamb? They brought it into their house.
Right.
You know how hard it is to kill something that you're very enamored with? That you've petted? That you've given a name to? You know, Hannah and Colton, They bought a cow that they were going to have slaughtered. And Hannah gave it a name, and she said, I never should have done that. She said, it's hard for me to eat it now. Hey, that matters. That matters. Ye shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. Not just you killing your lamb. The collective kills your lamb. It's a picture book, isn't it?
Amen.
Jesus Christ died for me. But he didn't just die for me. He's not just my lamb. It was the sins of the whole congregation of Israel that killed your lamb. Picture book. And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door post of the houses wherein they shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh in that night roast with fire and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs shall they eat it. This isn't a nice steak with garlic butter on it. Did you know lamb is a pungent meat? I don't like it. But I can't imagine eating it without any really good stuff to go with. Bitter herbs. You know why? Because it tastes tough. It tastes tough. Really. When you actually ponder your lamb and you eat your lamb. Eat not of it raw, nor sodden at all with water, but roast it with fire, his head with his legs, and with the pertinence thereof. You get to eat every single part of it, not just the part that you like the best. And ye shall let nothing of it remain until the morning. And that which remaineth of it unto the morning ye shall burn with fire, and thus shall ye eat it. He didn't tell them just how to prepare it and all the details about how you keep it up. But he said, here's how you're going to eat it. Thus shall ye eat it with your loins girded. You know, that's a whole other subject, isn't it, about gird up your loins? That means that there's some work that's going to be done. There's a battle, really, that you need to do. Or there's something that's fixing to happen that you need to be ready for. That's what they girded their loins up for. They girded their loins up when something was fixing to happen so that they would be unencumbered with their long robes. God said, you eat it with your loins girded. Shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and ye shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. Amen. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night. That means the people that hold them in bondage. Yeah. Right?
Right.
And will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And against all the gods of Egypt, I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. And this day shall be unto you for a memorial. And ye shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. Ye shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever. You know the story. God told them what was going to happen. Every one of the children of Israel took their lamb. The whole congregation slew them. And they took that hyssop brush and they caught that blood in a basin and they painted their doorposts of their houses with the blood from their lamb.
Amen.
That was a token, God said. When I pass by, I'll see the blood. And did you know when the Lord went through the streets and passed by your door, He didn't open the door to see if you were worthy for Him to pass by.
Amen.
He saw the blood and He passed by. Hey, that's a picture, isn't it?
Amen.
Aren't you glad God doesn't inspect you?
Amen.
To see whether you're worthy to pass by or not? Aren't you glad?
Amen.
That's a picture book, friends, of the blood of Jesus Christ. And when God looks at us, He does not see our faults, our failures, because Jesus, He sees the blood of His Son, Jesus Christ, and He passes by.
Amen. Beautiful picture.
I'm going to tell y'all a story. I like stories. Drew, when he was about 7, I won't go into all the details, but he got bit by a Rottweiler dog right here. And back here. And when I saw him, I could see nothing but blood. And on the way to the hospital, hurriedly, I didn't know if that little Toyota truck could go 100 miles an hour. On the way there, he said, "Daddy," he said, "God can stop the mouths of lions." And today, he's 7. And today He stopped the mouth of a dog. That image of His bloody head and face and body is forever seared in my memory. You think God's going to forget?
No. No way.
His Son?
No way.
Never. When He looks at you, He sees the blood of Jesus Christ as standing in between you and God. Hold on a second. Let's talk about another picture. We have it in the scriptures. We have, where is Jesus Christ when He ascended up on high? After He led captivity captive. What does that mean, He led captivity captive? The thing that held you captive, He now holds captive.
Amen. That's right.
Boy, that's just plain and simple, ain't it?
Yeah.
That means that, and where did He go? He ascended up on high and He sits on the right hand of the throne of the majesty on high.
Yeah.
Isn't that where He's at?
Right. Yeah.
Let's get this physical description of where Jesus is. God the Father is here, right here. Jesus Christ is at God's right hand.
Yeah.
Jesus say the position of his children would be when he came back? Hey, where's he going to put his sheep? On his right hand. Where are the goats going? On his left hand. What is the buffer between God and the goats? Nothing. What is the buffer between God and his sheep?
Amen.
It's his son, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And when he looks at you, he first sees his son.
Amen.
That's a great picture, isn't it?
Amen.
The Bible is full of pictures of the authority and pictures of the redemption of Jesus Christ. Really, the whole book's about redemption, isn't it? Isn't it?
Yes.
We talked about this morning, if you want to redeem an unclean animal, guess what you've got to pay for it? Even if it's born in your house, in your barn, from two animal parents that you have. Like two mules, not mules, but two donkeys. Two mules can't make another mule. We got Mule Day coming up pretty soon, I heard. You know what you've got to sacrifice in order to redeem an unclean animal? You've got to take that thing that is your possession and you've got to take it to the priest, but you've got to bring something else with you. You've got to bring a lamb. You've got to sacrifice a clean thing in order to redeem an unclean thing. Well, that's an obscure little law back there. But it's a picture of Jesus Christ who redeemed the unclean, which was us. It's simple, isn't it? Kids can understand this. This is how we need to teach our children. Oh yeah, the words are hard in the old, but you've got to break it down for them. Hey, I like to hear this as an old man.
Amen.
Because I can understand it too.
That's right.
Boy, there's all kind of pictures. Did y'all know? Let's get back on the Passover. So for 1,000 years, they still do keep the Passover, don't they?
Right.
The Jews do. I mean, Jewish people, they keep the Passover. Let's turn over to Luke chapter 22. Book just all of a sudden got more pages in it than I. Luke 22. Wow. We'll start in verse 7. Then came the day of unleavened bread when the Passover must be killed. And he sent Peter and John, saying, "Go and prepare us the Passover that we may eat." And they said unto him, "Where wilt thou that we prepare?" Y'all listen to this. This is amazing. And he said unto them, "Behold, when ye are entered into the city, there shall a man meet you bearing a pitcher of water." Nah, that don't happen. A man bearing a pitcher of water. Ain't that right, Brother Tim? How many times have we been to Africa? We ain't never seen a man bearing a pitcher of water. That's not for men to do. So God said, when you see this, you'll know beyond a shadow of a doubt where to go.
Amen.
This is unnatural.
Right.
You know, everything with God is unnatural.
Yeah, right.
It's unbelievable. It's amazing. You'll see a man bearing a pitcher of water. Follow him into the house where he entereth in, and you shall say unto the goodman of the house, the master saith unto thee, where is the guest chamber where I shall eat the Passover with my disciples? And he shall show you a large upper room furnished. There make ready. And they went and found as he had said unto them. Imagine that. God meaning what he says and says and what he means. Says and what he means. Listen to me. And when the hour was come, he sat down with the 12 apostles with him. Listen to this. With desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. Have you ever thought what a momentous occasion this was to Jesus? They didn't understand it. What was the Passover pointing to anyway? It was Jesus Christ. Paul said our Passover was crucified for us. So the Passover was eating the last one that there ever would be. He was eating the last one. What an occasion. Have you ever been in the midst of the Lord and didn't really realize it until later? They were a part of something that they had no idea about at the time. But boy, they found out later, didn't they? Their Passover was crucified. That blows my mind. That the antitype was taking part in the type as a fulfillment of that type. Isn't that amazing? Wow. The picture, the reality of Jesus Christ was taking part of even the picture of him. Wow. Deuteronomy chapter 7. Y'all know this. When did I start, Brother Chris? This might be one of them times that I might preach all night long. What was that? What time did I start?
About 25.
So I've been going 30 minutes. Goodness. Okay, we're going to skip Deuteronomy. But just know that God chose Israel. Just know that God chose Israel. He said, I did not choose you because you were the strongest and most mightiest nation. I'm paraphrasing. He didn't choose them. Moses was recounting this and he said, I didn't choose you to be the object of my affection because you were the most beautiful or the most desirable people out there. He said, but I set my love. I chose you because I set my love upon you. That's a picture of all of his children, isn't it? Go read Ephesians chapter 1. And you'll figure that out. That God's choosing of it. He chose all of his people from before the foundation of the world. Not because you were the prettiest people in the world. He didn't choose you because you were the cleanest or because you were the best. But he chose us because he loved us. Wow. We're the object of his affection. And he ought to be the object of ours. I want to talk about some other pictures. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 9. I danced all around this morning, didn't get to it. Paul starts it out and said, then verily the first covenant had also ordinances of divine service and a worldly sanctuary. Y'all get that? A worldly sanctuary. For there was a tabernacle made, the first wherein was a candlestick and a table and a showbread, which is called a sanctuary. And after the second veil, the tabernacle, which is called the holiest of all. And after the second veil, oh, I've already read that, which had the golden censer and the ark of the covenant overlaid round about with gold, wherein was the golden pot that had manna and Aaron's rod that budded and the tables of the covenant. And over it, the cherubims of glory shadowing the mercy seat where God told the children of Israel, I'll meet with you there. There,
right.
On the mercy seat, is where I will meet with you, not inside the box.
Right.
Aren't you glad God don't meet you in the box where the law is?
Amen.
I'm glad God meets us on the other side of the mercy seat.
Amen. Yes, sir.
Now, wow. Now, when these things were thus ordained, the priest went always into the first tabernacle, accomplishing the service of God, but into the second went the high priest alone once every year. Not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the errors of the people. Y'all remember those Old Testament? This is God's picture book, remember? Y'all remember what happened? It's a kind of obscure. If y'all will remember what happened in Exodus, God gave Aaron and Moses instructions that when Aaron was supposed to make the atonement, first he was supposed to take a bull and offer that bull for himself before he would be clean enough and sanctified enough to order in order to make a sacrifice on the behalf of the people. I want you to think about this. Every time, every priest from that day on, from the first time on, every time that high priest took that bull and offered it for himself was a declaration that I am a sinner and I am not good enough and to make this atonement sacrifice on my own.
Right.
It was an open declaration that I am a sinner. And I need to sacrifice for myself first.
Right.
It's just a picture of it, wasn't it?
Right.
It was a picture of the inability of any one of us to make any kind of sacrifice of atonement at all.
Amen.
But those high priests thought they were the stuff, didn't they? They thought they were the stuff, and they didn't even realize when they made a sacrifice for themselves that they weren't the stuff.
Right.
Now, he says, the Holy Ghost, this signifying that the way, come on now, the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest, while as the first tabernacle was yet standing, which was a figure for the time then present. It was a picture book for you, that so that you could really recognize the real thing when he actually came. Which was a figure for the time then present, in which were offered both gifts and sacrifices that could not make him that did the service perfect as pertaining to the conscience. Hey, every time And I know Aaron from that first time when Aaron made that. I'm confident that Aaron felt unworthy, that he needed that kind of sacrifice to do what God told him to do. That he couldn't actually make a sacrifice to actually atone for the sins of the people. Now, he says, this action, this service that they did, and this priest that they had that did that, which stood only in meats and drinks and divers washings and carnal ordinances imposed on them until the time of reformation. But Christ, I like that, don't you? But Christ, being come an high priest of good things to come by a greater and a more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained. Boy, that's pretty plain to me.
Amen.
That's past tense, isn't it?
Right.
That's beyond a shadow of a doubt.
Right.
Having obtained. Now, what did he obtain by this offering and blood of his? Having obtained eternal redemption for us.
Amen.
For now, listen to this. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of an heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? My friends, why in the world did they continue to have to offer those bulls and those goats and those lambs and all the sacrifices that they made in service to God? Why did they keep having to do it? Because it was insufficient payment for the justice demanded by God.
Amen.
The blood of bulls and goats couldn't pay the debt that you owed in order to take your sins away. Oh, my friends, because and you don't have that wasn't the currency that God demanded to pay that debt.
Amen.
And you don't have the currency to pay the debt that you owed to God.
Amen.
And to satisfy divine justice. Who had the currency, and what was the currency? My friends, Jesus Christ had the currency, and the currency was his precious blood. And when he shed that blood on your behalf, and God accepted, and he offered himself to God without spot, because it had to be without blemish and without spot, that offering, it couldn't be in lame or maimed or diseased or anything like that, or riddled with sin. That's why you didn't have anything to pay.
Amen.
And when Jesus paid that redemption price to God, God accepted his offering that he made on behalf of the whole congregation that killed him in the evening.
Amen.
Did you know when Peter made that great one of the greatest sermons ever on the day of Pentecost, and he looked out over the crowd and he said, ye with wicked hands have taken and crucified the Lord Jesus Christ. And they were pricked in their heart, and they said, men and brethren, what shall we do? Do you know what Peter, he didn't say, oh, it don't matter. He told them, arise, be baptized for the remission of sins. If you want to have, because not only have, because your sins have been remitted by the offering of Jesus Christ without spot to God, to pay your sin debt, but because you have a conscience now, you've been bitten by the fiery serpent, and the only thing that will give you a clarity of conscience and easing of guilt is for you to rise and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And boy, you know what they done?
They did it.
That's amazing, isn't it? But did you catch that? Peter said, ye with wicked hands have taken and crucified the Lord of glory.
Yes.
Did they nail those nails? into Jesus Christ? Nah. Were they the ones that started that business of the mob with crucify him, crucify him? No. Some of them might have been there that yelled that. Some of them might have been there that yelled, crucify him, crucify him. But they were guilty by proxy.
Yeah,
and Peter attributed that guilt to them, and the Spirit applied it to their conscience, and they were convicted of their part in the death of Jesus Christ. And my friends, when you understand that, and when you feel that guilt, that you are guilty of the death and crucifixion of Jesus Christ, that he died for you and paid your sin debt, then you are ripe, and only then are you ripe for baptism. Boy, that's good stuff. That's picture book, isn't it? That's picture book stuff. Isn't that good stuff?
Yeah, amen.
That's shouting around to me because amen. He died for me.
Yeah, amen,
I feel the guilt of his hanging on the cross. You know, I couldn't pay my sin debt because I didn't have the currency to satisfy it. God said, your money is no good here. I require something much more precious. And the only one that can pay that is my son. You know a good thing about the payment of debts? When it says paid in full, you don't owe nothing else to satisfy the debt. That's called a clear title. Don't you like a clear title? Whether it's your car or your house. I got a clear title on my house finally. Hallelujah. And my truck's coming up. That'll free me up to do some stuff. Y'all know I preached this, or I was singing a song, that song, When I Can Read My Title Clear to Mansions in the Skies.
Amen.
I'll bid farewell to every fear and wipe my weeping eyes. When you can really feel and read your title is clear with the, legally is clear with the people who you owed a debt to. Boy, you talk about shouting ground.
Amen.
And you talk really about shouting ground when you realize that Jesus paid it all, and he paid you, and you stand before God with a clear title. Nothing owed. How could you not love him back? How could we sit there stoic, knowing that we have a clear title in the eyes of God?
Amen.
And it's all at the payment and hand and sacrifice and offering of Jesus Christ to God without spot on your behalf. That's all I got.
Amen.
Hey, if you feel to be part of the death and crucifixion of Jesus Christ, that he died for you, hey, it's time. Amen.
Amen.
God bless you. Praise the Lord tonight.